You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you give us an overview of the new tool the government is using to help keep track of pay gaps?
Yeah, well, first, what I would say is it is good to see that the government has taken some action in this space. It's been a long time that we've been talking about pay gaps for working people. It's a small step, but it's a step in the right direction. What the government has done is it's developed a voluntary calculation tool to help reduce gender gaps. So it's a focus on gender gaps. And the government has also said it will work with business leaders on an approach to pay gap reporting, but also how it will support other organisations understand, share and take action with the data. Personally, I'm quite interested in seeing what sort of support for businesses and taking action and measuring, because we know that measuring is the first step, but we need businesses to take action to look at how they can close the gap and look at their individual circumstances. I'd also add that we currently do have voluntary tools available, Mind the Gap run a voluntary tool, which not only has gender reporting and ethnic reporting as well, but hopefully by having the government get behind an initiative of having voluntary reporting, we will see businesses come out and take more leadership, more participation and drive more productive workforce.
And how does this tool compare to Labor's mandatory reporting plan for companies with over 250 employees?
Well, the big difference is the voluntary versus the mandatory. So the previous government announced that it would introduce mandatory gender reporting for larger businesses. They also said that they would move over time to reduce that businesses with only 100 staff. So they were looking at picking up a sizable part of the workforce and having mandatory reporting. And one thing I would say is when we're talking about pay gap reporting is this isn't a hugely onerous issue. There's tools and really it only requires employers to put in the data and have the information come out. So when we're talking about mandatory reporting or voluntary reporting, we're not talking about a big onus that's put on businesses to have an additional job. The other thing I would note about Labor's proposal is it was suggesting that they would move to mandatory ethnic pay gap reporting in the future. I think they'd use terms like we're looking at including ethnic pay gap reporting in the future. And as you may well be aware, ethnic pay gaps are a significant part of the pay gap question and need to be addressed.
And building on that, as you said, the pay gap has been identified as an issue in Aotearoa. However, the Equal Employment Commissioner has said that this is not limited to the gender pay gap, but the ethnicity pay gap as well. Can you tell us what the ethnicity pay gap currently looks like in Aotearoa and how serious it is?
The ethnic pay gap is a really serious issue in Aotearoa. In 2022, the Commission Te Kahui Tika Tangata released a report into the Pacific Pay Gap Inquiry. Now, what we did is we looked at Pacific workers as the lowest paid ethnic pay group, and this was a conduit for us to look at all pay gaps. And the Commission's inquiry found that for every $1 that a Pākehā man earned, a Pākehā woman will be earning 89 cents, an Asian man and a Māori man will be earning 86 cents, an Asian woman would be receiving 83 cents, and a Pacific man and a Māori woman would be earning 81 cents, and Pacific woman were at the bottom earning only 75 cents of what a Pākehā man earned. So that we know while gender pay gaps are a problem in our country, we're not going to find equity in this space simply by addressing gender alone. We need to look broader and include ethnic pay gap reporting. The other thing I want to add around the Pacific pay gap is that it was very clear, and the research we did showed that it wasn't simply a matter of career choice or education or other factors. Over half of the Pacific pay gap was termed as unexplained. That means these factors couldn't explain the gap, and that discrimination was likely a factor in the pay gap. So we need to have these tools to identify these issues so that we can put in place better employment policies and reduce discrimination. I mean, at this rate, the Pacific pay gap was going to take 110 years to close. What that meant for a Pacific woman in reality is that over a working lifetime, we calculated that gap would amount to over $488,000. And this is money to build a home, to start a business, to retire in comfort and dignity, or to look after your tamariki. And this is happening to whole communities. It's contributing to poverty. It means that when you go to the supermarket, you're not able to buy everything you need. So what we really need to do is ensure that we're looking at the whole problem, not just a small part of the problem, and we're not leaving any communities behind. What I would say to employers out there who are interested in progressing ethnic pay gaps is that there's some really good advice by organisation UpTempo, just released a tool called the Good employer matrix tool, which has some really good information and support for employers who are wanting to progress work in ethnic pay gaps, particularly with a focus on Māori and Pacifica staff. So I really encourage people to look at that. I think it's some good employer matrix. If you put that into Google, you'll get it.
And would you say that there is a strong connection between the ethnicity and the gender pay gap?
As you can see, the issue is intersectional. That means that, yes, what we saw very clearly is that Pākehā women are earning less, and that as we go through the ethnic group, we are seeing that women are generally earning less than men within their ethnic group. But we're also seeing that among men, they're lower paid. So I don't know if I would say there's a correlation between the two, but they're both issues that need addressing. They both need to be measured so that we can address them, and employers need to look at their own specific data and come up and look at the tools that exist to address all these gaps.
Do you believe this new tool could help create more transparency with the ethnicity pay gap as well, or is it more focused on the gender pay gap?
The current tool appears to be only focused on the gender pay gap. So the government has said that they will only be addressing gender pay gaps with the voluntary tool. But it's not too late for the government to add ethnic reporting. As I said before, it's not a complex matter to add that reporting, and it could easily be done, and these tools already exist. So what I would say to the government is, it's great to see that we've had a first step where we're going to have a gender pay gap tool for voluntary reporting, but we need to add ethnicity as a first step. The other thing I would say is I just would like to see our government to be a little bit more bold, look at introduce mandatory gender and ethnic pay gapping reporting. And earlier this year, in April this year, New Zealand went to have its periodic review at the United Nations. That's a process by which different countries can make recommendations and look at New Zealand's human rights record. And one of the big themes was that New Zealand need to come out with mandatory pay gap reporting. And many countries said that this needs to happen for both ethnicity and gender. The other thing I would say is we're hearing from many businesses who are doing this already that it is good for business to have this reporting, to put in place this tool, that they're having higher productivity, better engaged staff. And I'm sitting here in Auckland today, and this is a diverse country, and we need to support all our diversity and all our employment to protect human rights and to advance our businesses.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just to say that businesses who are interested should be looking at the tools that are available. There's a lot of great work that already exists in this space. That as Aotearoa, we have a proud history of standing up for marginalised people, and addressing ethnic pay gaps is a really good way to do that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.